The new Wisconsin Poverty Report found a decrease in overall statewide poverty between the years of 2014 and 2015. According to the report released by the Institute for Research on Poverty, Milwaukee and La Crosse counties have the biggest challenges, but the report mostly found positive changes, including an addition of 70,000 jobs statewide.
We'd like to hear from you. How did the Great Recession affect your life? Were you able to recover from it? If so, how has that been going so far? What financial obstacles are out there for you in your community, too? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page and find this new report on poverty here in the state.
Tim Smeeting joins us now. He's one of the authors of the new report. He's a distinguished professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs. Tim, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Tim, what does this new report tell us about the overall state of poverty and financial security in Wisconsin?
Well, poverty and financial security are two different things, but I can at least talk about what's going on in terms of poverty. When we look at a Wisconsin poverty measure for 2015, which is the most recent year available, we find that finally, 7 years into recovery, the economy is leading the way in helping push down poverty because of an improved labor market. This isn't helping everyone everywhere, but for the first time, it's helping us do better in terms of the way we should be moving people from poverty. That's a stable, secure job that pays a good wage. Not all those jobs are paying good wages. We still need the benefits that we have from the Earned Income Credit and the SNAP program, our food share program, to help supplement those with low earnings. But the economy is finally helping.
And how do poverty rates for children and for families with children look?
That looks even better, to be quite honest. Not quite. The poverty rate for children is 10%, but that's 5 percentage points below the official measure of poverty for the state's children. And here the reason is not only do our parents doing better in the labor market, but the food share program and the refundable tax programs, particularly the EITC and the child tax credits, all increase when family size increases and pay more the more children you have to support, which is what they should be doing. And so these programs make a much more powerful and important package for children.
And you mentioned that the labor market, it seems to be a big part of what's propelling this downward trend in poverty. Can you lay that out a little for us?
A little more careful about that. The report says Wisconsin gained 70,000 jobs, and that's from the period January 2014 until November 2015, so over 2 years. And the biggest year annually in terms of annual gains was 2014, and then 2015 was another good year. But now we're going into next year, and things aren't looking quite so good, because when we do the report next year, in calendar year 2016, we only gained about 10,000 jobs in Wisconsin. So the kick of the job market is starting to peter out a little bit, perhaps. But the period of 2014 through 2015 that we cover in this report was a good period. There were more jobs. They weren't all wonderfully high-paying jobs, but there were more jobs. And that helped the labor market for the first time since the Great Recession have a significant effect in terms of reducing poverty in Wisconsin.
And right now we are talking with Tim Smeeting, Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs, talking about a new report on poverty covering the years 2014 to 2015. And overall trend positive, Tim, but there are some exceptions. What are those?
Well, the biggest exception and the one that's most disturbing is Central City, Milwaukee. If you look, the whole county of Milwaukee has a poverty rate that's significantly above the state rate. In other words, 9.7 for the state, and Wisconsin is up, I believe, 16%. And inside Milwaukee County, we have six different areas that we can look at because it's quite populous. So the sample's big enough to look at six areas. And in central city Milwaukee, the Wisconsin poverty rate is over 30%. And it's under 10 in other areas within the same county. And it's under 9, in fact, 7 or under, in the surrounding counties to the west and the north. So Washington, Ozaukee, Waukesha, even Jefferson, Dodge, and Sheboygan all have poverty rates that are in the single digits, which is a great accomplishment. But right in the middle of Milwaukee, poverty rates are extremely high.
And this is a big gap you're talking about between these high rates in the center of Milwaukee and the surrounding counties and even some of those subsections of the county. Mm-hmm. What do we know about what's happening there?
Well, part of it is that we're looking at an area that's the heart of a black community in Wisconsin. There's more single parenthood. There are more men who have been formerly incarcerated and are having a really hard time finding a job. There are fewer jobs in this particular part of Milwaukee for them to take. So they need transportation out and they need help to get jobs. In fact, one of the things that I applaud the state for doing, I don't applaud everything that they're doing, but in a Wisconsin State Journal op-ed on this past Sunday, I talked about it, is that they're trying to help young first-time offenders in particular when they're released from prison to find a job, reconnect with their families, and stay out of prison. In other words, don't resit for another term. That's very cost-effective for everybody, and we really need that help. But part of the problem is there just aren't that many jobs there in that central part of Milwaukee. So we need to get people out to where there are jobs or find ways to bring jobs closer in for them. And we're not doing a very good job. Milwaukee County lost population and jobs last year. And the area, you know, certain parts of the area aren't doing very well at all, despite the fact that the suburbs are doing well. So that's our biggest poverty problem in the state of Wisconsin.
Was there any upward or downward motion during the year you looked at, or has it been pretty static?
Upward or downward motions in terms of...
In Milwaukee, in the area with the highest rate of poverty.
It's been high for a long time. I mean, child poverty is even worse than... the differences in child poverty go from 50% in the middle to under 5% up in Whitefish Bay and Cedarburg up in the northeast part of the county. So child poverty there has always been a problem. The schools aren't very good there. Not a lot of mothers with good jobs there. The most incarcerated zip code in America is in Central City, Milwaukee. It's just not a good situation, and it's going to need, you know, lots of different actions and some really active policy and especially some leadership in order to really chip away at this problem and make it go away.
Tim Smeeting is with us right now, and he's with the UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs talking about the latest poverty report from there.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about poverty here in Wisconsin? How is it affecting your community? How has your local economy done since the Great Recession? How has your household economy done since the Great Recession? This recovery going on, more jobs. Are you feeling the difference? Are you seeing the difference? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll take your calls and continue in just a little bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And right now we're picking up our conversation with Tim Smeeting, professor at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs, talking about the latest Wisconsin poverty report.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about poverty trends, long and short term here in Wisconsin? Do you have observations? What are you seeing in your community when it comes to the local economy? How about your personal economy? There's been this gradual recovery from the Great Recession. Do you see it? Have you seen it affecting you? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And let's take a caller now. We've got Fred joining us in Eau Claire. Fred, hi.
Hello there.
What do you want to share?
Oh, I just wanted to ask your host there whether or not the trend in Wisconsin is directly related to that of the nation or if there's some differences.
All right, Fred, thank you for that. And Tim, how does that align?
Thanks for that question, Fred. It's a good one. We're all moving in the right direction right now. The nation is recovering even faster and stronger than is Wisconsin. But in every state and in every part of the nation, there are places where recovery is slower and where jobs have left and the jobs that have come back haven't been so good. So you could read Amy Goldstein's new book on Janesville, for instance. It's a nice description about what happened when the Chevy plant left and how people hung in there and as a community tried to pull themselves together, but they're not doing as well as they did before. Now, what I can tell you also, Fred, is that we're looking at the bottom end of the distribution. So the poverty line for a family of four in this report in Wisconsin is about $26,000. So you're talking about $2,100 or $2,200 a month for four people. So we don't get people who used to be making $60,000 that are now making $40,000. Or families where one person lost their job, so they went from a 200 family at 70 to a 100 family at 40 or 50. They don't make it into this report because they haven't fallen long enough. So there are a lot of people there who haven't recovered from where they were before the Great Recession, but at the very bottom of the barrel, we're at least starting to move in the right direction in most places in Wisconsin and in the country.
Well, Fred, thank you for that call. Appreciate it. And Tim, I want to talk a bit about social safety net programs.
Mm-hmm.
We have here in Wisconsin a proposal in the legislature going forward to drug test, for instance, recipients of welfare. How do you expect something like that to affect poverty rates?
Well, the drug tests aren't going to do very well. At least they never have in the past. Other states have tried drug tests that have found very little drug dependence. And even if you drug test and find someone who's got a drug problem, what do you do then? Do you cut them off of benefits or do you try to get them into a rehab program, you know, under Badger Care, which is the right thing to do to try and help them cure their illness and get away from, you know, their opioid or whatever it is that's bothering them. More concern are the plans to work test virtually every program, the work test, the Badger Care program, to enhance more work tests in the food share program and in public housing.
And this is the move to get able-bodied adults to be looking for a job, actively seeking a job or in a job.
We already have some evidence on the ABOD efforts. In the middle of 2015, we tried that. And some of those people who failed the test and didn't do so well are, and I'm sure, are in our poverty numbers this year. But about 60,000 people who are able-bodied adults without dependents were told that either you have to work for your food stamps at least 20 hours a week, go find a job, or in 60 days we're going to cut you off. And 20,000 found a job, and that was good, but 40,000 couldn't find a job and were cut off. Now, I've done other work that tells me that about half of these people who were cut off were likely young men, mainly minority men, who were recently released from prison and who couldn't find a job because no one would hire them. So I work with a number of conservatives in the American Enterprise Institute, one being Mike Strain, who edited a book and who worked on a report on how to create more opportunity and better jobs in America. And in that report, the suggestion was that there should be a job of last resort. If you want to force someone to take a job and they can't find it, offer them a job. offer them a job that pays $10 or $15 an hour, $10 an hour would even be enough above our $7.25 minimum wage, which is another problem. But offer them a job at that wage, and if they don't take the job, then okay, you do away with their benefits. But the idea is to find you might have to subsidize the private sector and nonprofits to hire some people where there are no jobs if you want to force them to work. So you're going to have to pay to help them get up and get out and get a job if there's no job available. And that's just the way it should be, of forcing people who've been released from prison who can't find jobs and have no countable income from earnings to say, well, we're not going to feed you then. You shouldn't get food stamps or food share. I think that's cruel. I don't think that's the right thing to do.
I want to go back to our callers now. We've got Marlon joining us next. He's in Madison. Marlon, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
My comment was about my experiences when I returned to Wisconsin after spending 4 years in the Army. I came back to Milwaukee in 1990. I'm now a special education teacher. I've been a teacher for 22 years. But I remember how hard it was finding a job. It didn't matter. And I'm from the north side of Milwaukee, and it didn't matter that, you know, I graduated from a high school in Milwaukee. I had a college degree from Carroll College. Now it's Carroll University. There were still redlining practices. I wasn't aware at first that I was being redlined by my landline telephone number. So the first three numbers of my telephone number gave me a locator. I gave employers a locator. And then a friend of mine's dad, who works for the Wisconsin prison system, taught me about redlining, how to get around it. I actually used his address for a while to find my first job when I came back to Wisconsin. And then he said, well, you can have people call me, and then I'll get in touch with you. And so I had to do that. And that got me my first job. But before that, he said the questions that he was being asked, and this is a white gentleman, he said the questions that he was being asked, like about me being black, were all questions about me being a suspect. Now, we have smartphones now, so you can't really redline in that manner, but I'm still concerned that there are still redlining practices in Milwaukee, whether you have a high school degree, a diploma, college degree, or not. If you're from the north side of Milwaukee, it's really hard to get out and find employment.
Marlon, thank you so much for bringing that up. I appreciate that. And Tim, do you see that as a factor of effects of systemic racism in housing practices going back decades and decades still being a factor?
Well, thank you, Marlon. That's a great story. And it fits with lots of things that we know about the labor market. It fits with, you call it redlining. We've done audit studies where you've given exactly, in other words, you've given an employer, let's say, an online resume for two different people, one with an obvious, more obviously minority first name, be it black or Latino, and the other with a more obviously white Anglo first name or last name. And the differences in the callbacks are phenomenal. They're huge. So there is still discrimination there. There certainly is. And people have their preconceived notions about place and about race, and those enter into the decisions that are made. So we really have to make strong efforts to help people. I wrote a paper about how important it was to reemploy formerly incarcerated men. I must say, Marwin, I'll tell you this, that first in line should be veterans who are coming back who served our country. They should be in the front of the line, not pushed to the back of the line in terms of getting jobs. Right now, though, I mean, this is as good as the economy gets in most of the state and in most of the nation. It's not that good in Milwaukee. We need to go out and do a much better job in helping people locate work and keep work. And there's no better time to do it. But it takes an effort. It takes more than just coordination. It takes carrots, not just sticks. I also will say that it probably, and it does, take a little bit higher minimum wage. Our minimum wage of $7.25 is the federal minimum. 29 states and cities have higher minimum wages. The Congressional Budget Office tells us that if we had a minimum wage of $10 an hour, every one in 20 people who are working would lose a job. but the other 19 would get a raise. I'm willing to take that trade-off. In this strong economy, if in Wisconsin employers are really looking hard to find workers, well, we've got workers. Let's connect them. Let's let those employers talk about the sorts of workers that they need. Let's give them people who can work for them and tell them, hire these people. Give them an apprenticeship. Give them a job. In other words, the labor market could work a lot better than it is now, and there could be a lot less discrimination on all sorts of grounds. But we have to work at it. We have to actively work at it.
Well, Marlon, thank you so much. I appreciate that call.
That was great. Marlon, thank you.
Tim, as we wrap up, got about a little less than a minute left. You're a policymaker, a lawmaker, looking at this report. What are the takeaways, and what plans should be formed for the future?
Well, the takeaways are we're doing fine right now. You have to keep these programs, though, that work and keep them in place. And if the economy comes off its wheels again, or for people who can't find work, we really need the food assistance program, food share program, and we need refundable tax credits to help those with low earnings and those who have a real hard time finding work keep their heads above water and feed themselves. That's what any humane nation should do, any humane state and body should do. These are not hammocks that we're talking about. These are ways to help people who are down in their luck get a chance to rise up and join the middle class.
We leave it there. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was very nice being with you today.
That's Tim Smeeding, co-author of the most recent Wisconsin Poverty Report. He is a professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs. And you can let us know what you think, your experience, your home, your personal economy on the Central Time Facebook page.